From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Pamela Wu, in for Beth Ruyak. The California Republican Party holds its annual convention in San Diego this weekend. The party is fighting to hold on to red parts of a very blue state. Only 25% of California voters are registered Republicans. This weekend, the California GOP will consider which candidate to endorse for governor, take positions on ballot initiatives, and find ways to keep critical seats in Congress in the face of what Democrats threaten will be a blue wave in November. Capital Public Radio's Capital Bureau Chief Ben Adler joins us from San Diego with a preview of the weekend's events. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
What is on the agenda for this weekend in San Diego?
Well, I think the biggest thing that people are going to be looking for is whether there's an endorsement in the California governor's race. And that's because you've got a couple of candidates, San Diego businessman John Cox and Orange County Assemblyman Travis Allen, both of whom want to get the endorsement because it would mean it would give them a boost with regular voters who don't pay much attention and might see the stamp of the Republican Party's endorsement as being, hey, well, you know what? That's who I'm going to go with in a race where maybe they don't know too much about either of the candidates and they see a bunch of different, you know, Democrats on the ballot. So that's, I think, the big thing to watch as we get set for the weekend.
Now, Democratic delegates at their convention did not endorse a candidate for governor because none reached the necessary 60% threshold of the vote. Is there a thought that that might happen at the GOP convention, too?
Oh, I think there's a quite good chance of it. But both candidates are going to try. So Travis Allen has a lot of grassroots energy and Tea Party support. And he's going to be holding a rally on Saturday, and he's going to try to pick up as much energy as he can from the delegates and see what he can do. John Cox appears to be consolidating the establishment party support behind him. Just yesterday, he announced endorsements from four House Republicans, including House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, and along with him, Devin Nunes, Jeff Denham, and Ken Calvert. So that's a big boost for Cox, who also this week announced the endorsement of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, which still has a pretty big brand name among California Republicans. So both candidates are going to be out doing everything they can to, if not get the endorsement themselves, to at least block their competitor.
Now, are there any dark horses when it comes to candidate endorsements, whether for this or any office?
Well, I think here you just have the two Republicans, and some of the down ballot races I think are going to be pretty simple. But we should get into why this endorsement matters in the bigger picture, which is this: under California's primary system, the top two finishers, regardless of political party, advance to the November general election. Right. So polls suggest that Gavin Newsom, the Democratic lieutenant governor, is in the lead right now, and if the election were today, he would have a pretty good shot at finishing first. There's kind of a scrum of candidates jockeying for second place. John Cox is among them, but also a couple of Democrats, in particular former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, with State Treasurer John Chung a little bit further behind. Villaraigosa is, and outside groups in support of him are spending a lot of money on ads right now, trying to boost his name ID so that he can maybe get into the top two. Well, Kevin McCarthy, House Majority Leader, let's remember, he wants to become Speaker of the House of Representatives. And to do that, he's going to need Republicans to keep control of the House. To do that, Republicans are going to need to win most, probably, of the seven or so House Republican seats in California that Democrats are putting up pretty strong challenges to. So if there's no Republican at the top of the ticket in the governor's race, are voters or Republicans going to turn out the way they might otherwise? That's why I think you're seeing Kevin McCarthy and some of the other establishment Republicans coalesce behind John Cox. He's got a lot of money from his own fortune, and he's proven not afraid to spend it. And they think he's got the best shot of getting ahead of all the other Democrats into the top two.
Well, speaking of House Republicans, this evening the party's going to hold a dinner, and on the agenda for that event is a recognition of retiring Congressmen Daryl Issa and Ed Royce. What did their retirements mean for the GOP in the state?
I don't want to say it put two seats into play. I think Issa's seat would have been in play whether he retired or not. In fact, it's conceivable that his seat might be a little bit less in play because he retired. He had attracted a large critical following in his district. But with the Ed Royce seat, that definitely went from originally being seen as a seat that Republicans were likely to defend to now I think there's a much stronger chance of Democrats taking the seat over if, and this is a big if, they can get into the top two, because there are multiple Republicans running in both of those districts. And it is possible that the two Republicans could finish first in those races or maybe even in a couple others, and therefore shut out Democrats from opportunities that they feel they have to win the seats in November. So they need to make sure, Democrats do, that they get a candidate from, you know, a pack, there's a lot of them, into the top two against a Republican. Otherwise, they will have squandered some pretty big opportunities at winning some House seats in California.
We're talking with Capitol Bureau Chief Ben Adler. He's joining us from San Diego, where the California Republican Party is holding its convention this weekend. Ben, what are the primary issues that you expect to hear about this weekend? Immigration, fiscal policies, the environment?
I think two things you're going to hear a lot of talk about, the phrase sanctuary state and the phrase gas tax. So let's take sanctuary state first. That, of course, refers to the law that Governor Brown signed last year that limits state and local law enforcement cooperation with federal immigration authorities. Now, the governor and Democrats who support the bill don't necessarily want to call it sanctuary state. And, you know, some of the claims that Republicans will make, such as it allows, you know, the most violent of criminals to not be deported, that's not necessarily accurate. But it is true that it does limit on some lower level offenses. And some of those quote unquote lower level offenses can, you know, sound violent when we talk about what the acts actually are. And so you're going to see Republicans, I think, rail against that. There's been movements and efforts to get local governments, counties, et cetera, to join the Trump administration's lawsuit against the state. And then there's the gas tax. And there's a ballot measure that is, I think, the signatures were turned in this week. So it's likely to, you know, be counted and potentially qualify for the November election of whether to repeal the gas tax vehicle fee increases that the governor signed into law last year. Which go toward road repairs and highway repairs and bridge repairs and public transit and all that on the order of $5 billion or so over each year over the first 10 years. And the ballot measure would not only repeal those revenue increases, but require all future car tax and fee increases to be approved by voters. And so it's a big priority for conservatives. Democrats will be trying to fight it next fall. I think those are the two issues policy-wise you're going to hear people talk about the most here.
Now, the Republican Party finds its influence has been marginalized in Democrat-heavy California. What conversations do you expect to hear at the convention? Will party members be doing some soul-searching about their future?
You know, to the extent there's soul-searching about the Republican Party's future, I don't necessarily know that it's happening here. This is where you have a lot of diehard conservatives who truly and passionately feel that the state's Democratic leadership has taken California in the wrong direction, many of whom are very excited about the president's actions in Washington, although you might hear some Republicans here voice displeasure with his words or his tweets, but they like a lot of the actions that he's taking. And you know, they're aware of the fact that California Republicans hold zero statewide offices and have super minorities in both chambers of the California legislature and are dropping down towards 25% voter registration. And they believe that's a problem. You know, I think they are more of the mind that eventually Democrats in California are going to overreach and that they need to be ready to offer a clear alternative to fight that.
Well, just a few weeks ago, former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was among several centrist Republicans who took part in a meeting of what they called New Way California, a group that wants to broaden the party's appeal to people who are politically in the middle. Does that group have a role this weekend?
You know, I haven't asked into that, but it would actually surprise me if they do. And Cap Radio's Ben Bradford has done a really good story about the New Way Republicans, and part of it ran on NPR last week or this past week, and I think the rest of it is going to be featured in a story running this week and also in a new podcast, Keys to the House, that we're getting ready to launch. So look for that in the coming days on iTunes and capradio.org/podcast and wherever you find your podcast. But the New Way Republicans, you know, you're talking about Schwarzenegger, you're talking about Ohio Governor John Kasich, you're talking about former California Assembly Republican leader and current, he's still a rank and file assemblyman, Chad Mays, who lost his leadership after negotiating the cap and trade extension deal with Governor Brown. They are, you know, rather than, you know, as I said, with a lot of people here assuming that California Democrats will overreach and offering a stark alternative, they say, yes, we do have alternative views, but we do feel a responsibility to be at the table and govern. And they cite cap and trade as an example, because if they weren't at the table, the package that eventually got through might have been more favorable to liberal interests and progressive interests and environmental interests. And they feel that, they were able to get the oil industry interests in support, and the California Chamber of Commerce and manufacturers in support, and that there is a middle ground and a way to govern in California. So far, I don't know that they're here yet, but if they are, I'll circle back with you all and let you know.
All right. We will have complete coverage of the California GOP convention on our website, capradio.org. Capital Bureau Chief Ben Adler, thanks for joining us. And I know that you'll be providing coverage all weekend from sunny San Diego.
It's pretty nice out here, yeah.
I bet. Thank you, Ben.
You got it.
And you are listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.